is to know you and to make you known. We lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, may darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
In that earlier hymn, I heard you sing, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." And then in the courts of the temple, we hear Jesus making a great observation about the rich, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, as poor as she is, that widow, has given everything she is to live on. Grace, mercy, and peace, the living waters of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is abundantly yours for today and every day. Amen. So the Shakers, they weren't a rock band, but an early attempt really at a Christian commune. And they had as their motto, hands to work, hearts to God. And they lived by that. They taught that to their children. It was meant to be an encouragement, a philosophy of living a life as a Christian, that if you truly not only work hard, but have a heart turned to God, then those are hearts that are willing to trust a God who is, a God who cares, and a God who provides. It was a lifestyle of total trust, something that perhaps we lose or fall thin on from generation to generation, a lifestyle of total trust in God, that He is, that He cares, and He provides for all that we need. In that gospel this morning, Jesus is people watching. Oh, I find that interesting. Fellas, let's sit down in church and just watch the people. Of course, they had an interesting custom, something that was kind of a part of our Lutheran heritage not too long ago. You could watch the people come and give their offerings in the temple courts there, given publicly and seen publicly. We used to have what we called in the Lutheran church the scandal sheets. Anyone remember that phrase? We're kind of dating ourselves here. Where you would list what every member donated to the church. And of course, you knew those who were the doctors, the auto mechanics, the linesmen. What an interesting thing for culture to just put it out there. This is what you're giving back to God. But it sets a stage, doesn't it? For showmanship. For putting out there, perhaps, a false front. So Jesus begins describing the dark side of the scribes. Doesn't always give them the best light because he sees them for what they are. They were an influential sect in Judaism, and they always liked to wear long robes, and not just on special days and occasions, but all the time, like wearing an Armani suit all the time, drawing attention to themselves with their long robes. They also sought out and expected to have the most privileged seats in social gatherings and at the banquets. We're scribes, after all. We are the talk of the town. Put us at the head of the table with the guests. Far away, but the host near us. This was what was in their heart. And of course, Jesus also knew, as many in the day did, they pursued the financially vulnerable, especially widows, almost like a landlord who's looking to take back property when the tenant falls behind. This was their motivation. But Jesus even goes a step further to say that even in their prayers, they use flowery words like Shakespeare rather than actual sincere words of faith. And so their life wasn't a lifestyle of trusting God. They trusted in different things. He contrasts them now with the likes of one widow that he notices coming up and putting in a certain amount of her income as she makes that obligatory offering, a victim of a sacrificial system that really favored the rich more than the poor. And he notices this and he points it out. And she evidently, without any hesitation, literally gave her 2 cents, all that she had. She gave from her poverty to the work of the Lord in those temple courts. And he doesn't really condemn the offerings of the rich or exalt the offerings of the one widow, does he? It's more about something going on behind all that. The deeper principle behind what they gave with their hands was what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. Let's look at what's in their heart. What motivates them? What's their core reason for even being here or living day in and day out? What moves them to give in the way that they give? What's their intention? The scribes, they trusted in society, position, and power. That was evident. They didn't hide that. Apparently, they didn't have shame for that. That's where they found their security, in those things. But the widow, having none of those things, trusted simply that God would provide for her needs. It was a lifestyle of total trust for her. Because if she truly, as Jesus reported, and he's not lying, gave all that she had, when she went home at the end of that moment, where was her security at? Where was her peace of mind? It was in her God, her Lord, the one true God, the one that created her and would provide for her. That's what she was taught in her Sunday school from God's word, and she believed it. Because she made a decision that morning when looking at the little jar of coins or wherever she kept them, that little bag. Maybe she couldn't even afford the jar or the bag, but she brought the coins. But more importantly, she brought her heart. And Jesus talks about this, as did the prophets, who said, God is not interested so much about your wealth and what you bring as an offering, but he wants a heart that is sacrificed to him, a life that is given fully to him, and then expresses that in very obvious ways. There's a familiar commercial that I think all of us have heard or seen that asks, what's in your wallet? Suggesting that one credit card provides more security or benefits than perhaps all the rest. In the text this morning, Jesus is actually saying, what's in your heart? And where do you find security in your life? The challenge today for us, as always, of people of faith, is to live more by faith than sight. It sounds good when the preacher says it or we hear it in Bible study, live by faith, not always by sight, but to actually live by faith, totally trusting God, that can be a difficult thing even for Christians. We live by faith more than by sight. And it also means that then we give up of our gifts and our resources wisely in such a way that we trust God, but not to depend on those gifts and resources to help us sleep at night. Because so often we look at earthly wealth, earthly things, for our security, that everything's going to be okay. I have four walls and a roof. Okay, that's a start. But is that where our trust really is? In the wood and lumber and screws of a building? Is the trust for our daily life, for who we are, where it really matters, put in things? Faith is always reaching out to what is beyond the moment or beyond the obvious, isn't it? Faith is trusting what can't be seen or fully understood. Because that's how the people of God have always conducted their lives. Willing to believe in a God who is, a God who cares, a God who does provide in his way and his time for all our needs. Amen? Do you believe in the God who is, who cares, and will provide for your life? Because the world is watching how you answer that day in and day out. And again, it's not to say wealth or things are bad. Certainly they can be gifts from God. But remember, we hold on to our blessings with open hands that fall through the cracks of our fingers into the lives of others. We see our blessings as things that won't be here when the ultimate day of judgment comes. I always tell my kids in confirmation class, money burns. Money's not going to last. I mean, we have to function in society with currency, but that's not the most important thing or the things that money buys for your daily bread. Daily bread is much more than what's in your cupboards and refrigerator at home. It is a relationship with the one who gives you the bread of life and the living waters of Jesus. The struggle here comes in the same way as it did for the scribes, that we often will find our security in what can be measured, held, and owned. Do you see how we put that in our thinking? We find security in, did I have a warm coat today? which is a blessing from God. Is it something I can measure? Can I own it? Can I hold it? But that isn't always where faith takes us, especially when you're facing a tragedy. Your coat won't cure cancer. Your coins won't solve world peace. We are led to believe that the things that we have or seek will provide the peace and security that we need in an unstable world. And we often turn in one empty dream for another, seldom being satisfied and often still very anxious at night, despite those things we accumulate. Even though we may grace the pews in church, there's the deepest part of our heart that still trusts in things that we see than in the God who feels hidden. And Jesus understands that. Now, sometimes God feels far away. He feels silent. He seems not tangible in our day-to-day life. Living more by faith means giving up, though, that illusion of independence, and that we stop avoiding our need for God's word and the grace of Jesus Christ in our everyday moment, because that's where faith takes us, to the foot of the cross and to the open door of the empty tomb. A God who provides for our greatest needs and our every need. And like those saints who came before us, putting our trust in God is putting our trust in the God who created us in His image and has promised to sustain us, who gives us breath day in and day out. Finally, that is where true peace is going to be found, in your relationship with the Creator, the Savior, and the Comforter. Amen? You have the greatest treasure on earth and heaven, the Creator, Savior, and Comforter, promised to you, given to you, to walk and be with you. He is the with you God, just as He was with Adam and Eve in the beginning and John in prison in the book of Revelation. He is the with you God at your first breath. And before you were born, He knew you. That is the God who creates, saves, and sustains you by His grace. What gives us that courage to put ourselves into God's hands, as did the widow, is realizing who the God is that we're dealing with. In watching the widow at the temple, Jesus was kind of looking in a mirror, because only 4 days later, He would be hanging on a cross in the city dump, offering all that He was and all that He had. And as the widow willingly put her trust in the God that she could not see, Jesus put His faith and the God who would step away from Him on the cross of Calvary. And in that silence and loneliness of that place, He gave up His life so that we would have the riches of everlasting life. Amen? Jesus gave His all, not just His 2 cents. He gave His whole life so that we would have freedom from sin. And this week in the United States and really throughout the world, when you remember the sacrifice of those veterans who made freedom possible, you are remembering how fully they gave for your life and your security and peace. You know what's in their heart because they lived it, they served it, they gave it quite often. So knowing that God in His grace holds us together, knowing that our sins are freely forgiven by the blood of Jesus, that gives us strength. Trusting that, we press on. We have no fear. We have only trust in the God who is grace, who is peace, who is strength. And seldom does that journey ever go where we thought or desired, but with His presence comes the peace and that gradual awareness that God is, God cares, and God will provide. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. His grace and mercy will go with you and sustain you. His peace will never abandon you. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand now with open hearts as we come to the Lord in prayer.